Just be give me a minute to get settled in here. I had brought the stool today in case I need it. I can stand up to preach, but I find when I stand up to preach, I'm limited to about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, and my back starts to get a little sore, my legs are sore, and so I'll have to sit down. So this way, with the stool here, I'll be able to preach a lot longer, my normal kind of a message. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, before I get started, I just want to say 35 years, Pastor. It's been quite a trip, hasn't it? It has. Wow. Hard to even think 35 years. I'm going to do something before I begin to preach that I do not recommend you younger fellows do. Philip, don't do that. Jonathan, I wouldn't do this either. Any of you could have the opportunity to preach here, I wouldn't do this. But I think I can get away with it. Pastor, I want to ask you publicly to make a commitment to me. I'm asking you if you will promise me that you will personally invite me to preach when we celebrate our second 35 years at Maquonago Baptist Church. I've already got 2048 on the schedule for furlough, so we'll definitely be here. Will you do that for me?
If humanly possible.
Amen. Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Father, I can say nothing but thank you for 35 wonderful years as a member of this church. 35 and a half wonderful years as a servant of yours. I pray now that the Holy Spirit might take this message and ignite a spark of revival in this church. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've spent a lot of time discussing this message with the Lord, and I have become convinced that God is going to bring revival to Maquonago Baptist Church. Not next year. Not next month. Not next week. But starting today. Continuing tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, I'm looking forward to seeing a great old revival prayer meeting. And you can be a part of it. God wants you to be a part of it. God wants every one of you to be here for every one of the services. This is what you need to do if you want to be a part of the revival that God is going to bring in this church. First off, some of you don't know the Lord as your Savior. We praise God that you come to church, you come faithfully. We've got people who come here on a regular basis who have not yet trusted Christ as their Savior. What you need to do is you need to just make that decision to put your faith in Christ. Trust me, you'll never, never, never make a decision that you will appreciate more, that you will rejoice in more, than the decision to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some of you who come regularly and may even be members of our church. You're saved. You love the Lord. You come to every service. But you're not very actively involved in the ministry. What you need to do, you need to just make that decision that you will really get involved in the work. We got Bible school coming up. No greater opportunity to get your feet wet in the ministry than to come to Bible school. It's not like you're going to be preaching at Bible school. You'll have the opportunity to work with people who know what they're doing and can help you learn how to serve the Lord in this local church. Not like the early days. I was saved, what, month and a half, 2 months when you asked me to teach my first Sunday school class? What a fool. Somehow it worked, but, you know, that's another thing I would never recommend. You know, don't. Yeah. But it worked because that was all Pastor had. But today that doesn't have to happen. We've got workers that can help you and you can learn and you can really get involved in serving the Lord Jesus Christ through this local church. And then there are those of you who are saved, you've been members for years, you're faithful, take every opportunity to serve the Lord. You need to get involved in this revival as well. I hate to say this, because when I do, I'm pointing at myself as well. And whenever I say this, it means more work. But those of us who are serving the Lord need to be willing to pray as Jabez prayed, Lord, enlarge my coast. Lord, give me more to do. I'm telling you what, Brother Halstead out in Kenya, that guy, every time we get together and pray for revival, it seems like he comes up with new plans and new ideas and there's always more work. But that's the joy of serving the Lord. You know, you can do more. You think you're too busy now. You think you have too much to do now. Add another ministry. Add another work. Add another service. And a year from now, you'll think you're too busy and you can't do it, but you're already doing that new one again with what you already did, you see. That's what we all need to do if we are truly going to see revival in this church. That's just the introduction. I love using Old Testament characters as illustrations in messages. I love Old Testament characters because so many people know the stories. And you don't have to go through all the details of the story. You know the basis of the story. Even the unsaved know most of these stories. And you can use an Old Testament character to teach clear biblical truth. Let me give you an example. If I were to say Noah and, what would you say? The ark or the flood. Yeah. If I were to say David and Goliath, yeah, of course. If I were to say Jonah and the whale, of course. That's what everybody would say. Now, my question to you is, why didn't you say Noah and preaching righteousness? Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. The flood lasted a year. Why didn't you say David and godly leadership, the man after God's own heart? David was a godly leader of Israel for 40 years. The fight with Goliath probably didn't last 40 seconds. And with brother old Jonah, why didn't you say revival at Nineveh rather than Jonah and the whale? Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, and then God brought a great revival. You see, it's all our perspective. We might say it's our attitude, but it really isn't attitude. It's just how we've learned to look at things. How we've learned to look at things in the Old Testament determines what in our mind we remember and we think of. Now I want you to turn to the book of Jonah. This same perspective, how we think about things, how you think about things, will determine whether we have revival in this church. In other words, our attitude can either build revival or it can destroy revival. Our attitudes in certain areas of spiritual life can either build revival or it can destroy revival. By the way, my definition of revival is my spirit under the authority and control of the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty strict definition of revival. Certainly you recognize that each one of us at certain times in our lives we may have revival. And at other times we need revival. In fact, every one of us sitting here today, we either have revival or we need revival. The only exception to that would be any unsaved people are here today. They need vival first. You can't get revival till you get vival. You got to have life before you can have life again. The Bible says if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You need the life of the Lord Jesus Christ before you can even have revival. But that's my definition of revival. My spirit under the control and authority of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're seeking for. That's what we're searching for as we seek the Spirit of God to bring revival in our church. As I said, your attitude can determine either to bring revival, to maintain revival, or to destroy revival. First, I would say your attitude toward the Word of God. Look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the Word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. To flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and we'll continue with that story. Jonah's attitude toward the Word of God was not right, was it? The Word of God came to Jonah, and he turned his back on what God told him to do. So your attitude toward the Word of God can either develop, build, maintain revival, or it will destroy revival. God's people should love this book. They should obey this book. They should be willing to do what the Bible says. Jesus himself said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Here they are. Here they are. 66 books worth of commandments from the Lord. And Jesus said, if you love me, if you really love me, you're going to obey this book. You're going to do what this book tells you to do. I thank God for a church that stands on the Word of God. One of the men who was instrumental in witnessing to me before I got saved, not Matt Bennett, but his brother, told me once, very early in my Christian life, he said, "Rick, if you're ever in a church that's wishy-washy on the Word of God," is that a euphemism? Wishy-washy on the Word of God, he said, "get out!" I don't know what church he attends now, but I guarantee you it's wishy-washy on the Word of God. I guarantee you. But Mequonago Baptist Church has always stood for the truth of the Bible, has always stood for the correct interpretation of the Bible. And we can have revival when God's people have the right attitude toward the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Our attitude toward the Word of God needs to be this: Lord, teach me. I open the Word of God in the morning and I pray, Lord, teach me. Lord, show me something from your word today, something I can grab onto, something I need, something that will change my life. And God will do it. God will do it when you have the right attitude toward the Bible. I believe the reason we've seen 35 years of blessing in this church is because we believe the Bible is true, and we seek to do what the Bible says we should do. I was out visiting in the Catholic cemetery. Actually, not the Catholic cemetery, the Catholic subdivision out beyond Johnson Bank, you know, out there. I don't know if it's still really, really Catholic, but at one time it was pure Catholic. Tom Condellin and I used to call it the Catholic Cemetery because everybody in there was dead. And we were out visiting one day and got to talking to a lady in the door, on our doorstep. And she said, you know, she asked us a question about, you know, what do you believe about this? And we turned to the Bible and says, well, the Bible says this. And she said, you Baptist, you're always saying what the Bible says. I want to know what you believe. What could I say? Lady, I believe what the Bible says. You know, that was a shock to her that anybody would actually believe what the Bible says. But that's the attitude we need to have as Christians if we're going to see revival. We need to love this book and live by this book. Now, Christians can do what Jonah did. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a man of God, and Christians can do what Jonah did. They can turn their back on the Word of God. They can reject the Word of God. If you ever find yourself listening to a message and God begins to work in your heart, you know how you can tell God's working in your heart? You just get an uneasy feeling. You know, there's no other way I can describe it. When you get that uneasy feeling, what that is the Holy Spirit, Christian, knocking on the door, saying, hey, this is for you. Wake up. Listen to what the Word has to say. But if you ever find yourself in that condition and in your mind you're thinking, well, that really doesn't apply to me, or, well, that's Old Testament, that isn't for today, you're in big trouble. As a Christian, you're in big trouble. Because what you're doing up here is turning your back on the Word of God, just as Jonah turned his back on the Word of God. You and I need to recognize that this book is the only rule of faith and practice. You taught Baptist distinctives recently here in the church. Number one, the Bible, the only rule of faith and practice. That says it all. You don't need any more than that. That does it. That's what characterizes Baptists. That's what characterizes, that has characterized Bible-believing Christians through the centuries, long before they were called Baptists. Those who believed the Bible recognized the Bible was the only rule in faith and practice. So we need to have the right attitude toward the Word of God. We need to develop an attitude that says the Bible is right, the Bible is 100% correct. So when I see something in the Bible that I'm not doing, I need to start doing it. When I see something in the Bible that's wrong and I am doing it, I need to stop doing it. I have to have that attitude toward the Bible if I'm going to see revival. We look at the life of Jonah and we see another thing. We need to have the right attitude toward prayer if we're going to see revival. Now, it's interesting, in the book of Jonah, verse 5 of chapter 1, the mariners, now these were the pagan men. Jonah's the man of God. The mariners are the pagans who are sailing the ship. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Wow, these pagans had a greater respect for prayer than Jonah. Jonah was asleep when he woke up and found out there was a big storm. Did he pray? No. He got to the point where the men were going to throw him into the sea. Did he pray? No. Boy, you'd think he got to that point, he'd start calling out to the Lord, wouldn't you? Now, it wasn't until he's in the fish's belly, gone down into the depths of hell, in the belly of a fish. You know, that's got to be worse than fire. Be in the belly of a fish. 3 days and three nights. It was only then that Jonah decided to cry out to God in prayer. When he was at the depths, when there was no hope for him. The pagans used prayer immediately. But the man of God delayed until he really couldn't delay any longer. Now, as Christians, if we want to see revival in our church, we can be believers who depend upon prayer. Prayer moves God. Prayer does change things. If you're not in the habit of reading biographies of men and women of God of the past, you need to develop that habit. We have some great biographies in our bookstore. And there's one theme over and over and over again that develops in these biographies, and this is simply this. Prayer changes things. When these men and women, I don't care whether it's Adoniram Judson or William Carey or any of the others that we might have biographies on, prayer changes things. They were men and women of prayer. And prayer changed things. Prayer, well, the Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth a little bit. Is that right? No, availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer, serious prayer. In other words, biblical prayer. Not, now I lay me down to sleep, or God, thank you for this food. That's prayers, the prayers of thanksgiving, but those aren't effectual, fervent prayers. Effectual, fervent prayers are the kind of prayers you pray when you really need to get a hold of God, when you are at the end of your rope and you can't do anything. It's God that has to do it when you're up against it. That's serious prayer. That's biblical prayer. And the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. There's some standards that must be met to see prayer answered. A righteous man. God does not hear the prayer of the unsaved. Now, forgive me, but I believe that's absolutely true. An unsaved person prays, the prayers just bounce off the ceiling. They do not go to God. The only prayer God has promised to answer is the prayer for salvation. He says, call unto me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a promise that God will answer that prayer, but other than that, praying for health, praying for safety, praying for any other thing without having the Lord Jesus Christ in your life is a futile exercise. Christians need to develop the attitude of prayerfulness because it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The idea there, I believe, is more than you expect. God will do more than you expect. About a month and a half or so after I got saved, we had that first special meetings down at the Universal Unitarian Church down here in Mukwonago. But that Sunday night, we met at the Savings and Loan. In the basement of the Savings and Loan building there in Waukesha Savings and Loan, Leonard Saunders was here to preach. Pastor Saunders, now retired. He was over in Michigan for years. And at that Sunday night, I went forward to dedicate my life to the Lord. And Leonard Saunders put his arm on my shoulder and he began to pray. And he said, Lord, take Rick's life and use it. Even if it might be somewhere preaching the gospel. My eyes popped wide open. I'm looking at him. He's serious. I mean, he's really praying. He's serious. Now, I went forward to dedicate my life to be a faithful member of the church. To maybe be a deacon someday. Maybe teach a Sunday school class someday. But to preach the gospel? No way. That's not what I had in mind, Lord. But you see, I did mean whatever you want me to do. And that prayer, I look back at it today and say that that prayer availed much. It did more than I expected. And I'm thankful for it. That's the attitude we as Christians need to have about prayer. Not the attitude of Jonah that says, well, prayer is a spare tire. You know what I mean by that? When do you use your spare tire in a car? When you have a problem. When do most Christians use prayer? When they have a problem. Isn't that true? Let me give you an illustration of that. One of the greatest blessings that I have had in the 3 or 4 months that we've been back in America now and being able to come to Maquonago Baptist Church, one of my greatest blessings is Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, being able to get together with men and pray. It is just an encouragement beyond your imagination. I'm sure those of you who come to the 7 o'clock Saturday evening prayer time with the men feel the same way. This last Saturday morning, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but as George Galshinsky was praying, I was crying. I said, Lord, here's a man who really, really prays for us missionaries. He's serious about praying for us missionaries. What a blessing it was to me to pray with a man of God, with the men of God. I remember years ago, we were remodeling the bathroom upstairs in your house. Chuck Griffith was up there doing the plumbing, and I was helping him. You know, I was always the helper because I don't know how to do anything, but I can hold the tools. I was a good gopher back when I still had legs that could gopher. You know what I mean? And we were repairing putting in the toilet in the upstairs bathroom. And Pastor came up. He was working somewhere else in the house on another project. He came up to see how we were doing. And I remember Chuck asking Pastor. You know, Chuck was a fireman. So he had a work schedule that varied. He'd be a couple days on, a couple days off, and you never knew when he would be off work to go to church. And I remember Pastor saying to Chuck, if you have control of your schedule, the most important thing is to make sure you're available for Wednesday night prayer meeting. As a young Christian, that kind of shocked me. I was sure a pastor would say, be here Sunday morning. But he said, no, be here Wednesday night. It's the most important service in this church. And to this day, I believe it is. The prayer times that we have avail much. We need to have the right attitude toward prayer. As we continue looking at the life of Jonah, we have to also have the right attitude if we're going to have revival. If we're going to be part of the revival that God is going to bring in this church, we need to not only have the right attitude toward the Word of God and the right attitude toward prayer, but we need to have the right attitude toward the will of God. God has a will for each one of us. Now, His plan, His will, His desire for me is different than His desire for you, His will for you. And we, as Christians, need to seek God's will. We need to ask God often, what would you have me to do? What is it, Lord, that you want done with my life? Stephen Amber, you've been seeking God's will. He has a plan for you. He has a will for you. And I was blessed just recently reading the Bible. Ephesians 1:9 makes it clear that revealing God's will is God's good pleasure. He wants you to know. It's not something secret. It's not something you have to, you know, close your eyes and, oh, that's for me. No, just read your Bible. The right attitude toward the Bible, right attitude toward God will go together. Because God will reveal His will partially through the Bible. He will reveal His will through godly counsel. Ask your pastor. I'm sure I've shared with this with you many times, but before I asked Mrs. Simonson, Miss Hober, to marry me, I wrote Pastor a letter. I said, Pastor, would she make a good wife? Do I have your permission to ask her to marry me? Now, you need to recognize I'm like 35 years old at the time. Pastor's 2 years younger than I am. But I knew that if I was not going to make a mistake, that if I was going to have the will of God in a life partner, I not only needed God to confirm it in the Bible, but I needed godly counsel. I needed the man of God to share his thoughts and his concerns with me. And I'm so thankful that Pastor said yes. And I'm thankful that Sue said yes. December 17th this year, we'll have been married for 30 years. Without question, the best 30 years of my life. Since my salvation, it's been the best 35 and a half years of my life, but the best 35 years of my life is, or 30 years of my life has been married to her. Because it's the will of God. One of the worst things that can happen to any believer is to marry out of the will of God. So we need to have that attitude toward the will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is another one of the first passages we memorized in this church. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. God says, look, you give your life to me and I'll take care of it. You give your life to me and I'll guide it. You give your life to me and you can have the confidence that you are doing that which is right step by step. Do we make mistakes along the way? Yeah, we do. But the will of God, through the Word of God, will guide and mold and direct us. And that needs to be our attitude if we're going to have revival. We need to just throw our hands in the air and say, God, I surrender. Show me what you want me to do. I'm yours. I'll do what you want me to do. If we want revival, that's what we need. You want to destroy revival? Do like Jonah. As we wrote. We read, Jonah rose to flee from unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's look back at Jonah. And you know the story of Jonah. He fled from God. The storm came. He was cast over to the side of the ship. He was swallowed by a whale. After 3 days and three nights, Jonah prayed, got right with God, and the whale vomited him out onto the seashore. And then what happened? Look at verse 3. Now we read verse 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against us. Look at chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it. Exactly what Jonah was told to do. He ran away. He tried to run from the will of God. My friends, if you run, you can't run from the will of God. You really can't. If you run from the will of God, you get out of the will of God, God, it's like he puts you on the shelf. And if you want to be used of God again, you got to get back to that place where you turned your back on God and get back and do what God wants you to do. That's what happened with Jonah. Jonah ran from God. He ran into all these troubles. And what happened? Back to the same place. I have a picture in my mind. This is not in the Bible, but I have a picture in my mind. Jerusalem's up on the hill. God says, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, runs away, goes down the road, down the hill, down to the coast at Tarshish. He gets to a crossroads, to a T in the road. And there's a sign there. And then this way it says Joppa and the ships on the signboard. That way it says Nineveh. Jonah says, no, I'm going the Joppa way on the ship, going to Tarshish. He gets swallowed by the whale. The whale vomits him out on the seacoast. Now, after you've been 3 days and three nights in a belly of a whale, I'm sure you don't smell very well. You're probably a bit disoriented. I'm sure he had no clue where he was. So the whale vomits him out on the seashore. And when he finally cleans himself up and comes to himself again, he decides, okay, I better find out where I am. And he starts walking up the seacoast and he sees a road. And there's a road coming down the hill and there's a T. And there's a signboard, but it's backwards. So he says, well, I'll look at that sign and see what it says. So he goes around the signboard, he looks at it, and the sign says, Joppa and the ships, Nineveh. God brought him right back where he started. Right back, right to the point where he turned his back on God. God brought him back and said, okay, Jonah, now will you do my will? And of course, we know that Jonah did. So we need to have the right attitude about the will of God. And finally this morning, you and I, if we're going to see revival, we need to see have the right attitude about winning souls to Christ. I mean, in essence, that's what revival is all about. Seeing souls, first Christians getting totally right with God, and then seeing others come into the kingdom. We're praying for a revival in Kenya, praying for another great East African revival. The last great revival in the world was in East Africa, 1930s through the 1960s. Tens of thousands came to Christ as a result of the dedication of a handful of students who decided to let their spirits be under the authority and control of the Holy Spirit. Any of the great revivals in history starts among God's people, but eventually reaches the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to have the right attitude about soul winning. What should the Christian's attitude be about soul winning? Doing whatever we can to win them. Amen? Where's the amen sign? Doing whatever we can to win them. Amen. All right. All right. Luke 19:10. A lot of you know this. Say it with me. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, if Jesus' purpose in coming to this earth was to reach the lost, can you and I have a different purpose? It has to be one of our purposes. It has to be one of our goals. We must reach the lost world for Christ. I have difficulty right now. I just can't walk, especially on rough ground. When we go out soul winning in Kenya, Sue and the boys are my legs. They'll go out giving out tracks on the roadside. I park next to the road, leave the window open, and I'll watch. And if somebody gets by them, I'll call them over to the car. Give them a track, talk to them. You know, I wish I could walk around. I wish I could do the things I used to do. But that doesn't excuse me from being a soul winner, does it? There's only one time a Christian can be exempt from winning souls to Christ. It's that point where you breathe your last breath. But up until then, you and I have a responsibility, whether it's like this, whether I'm in a wheelchair. When we travel around, we carry a wheelchair with us because I can't walk very far. But when we get out to places like the Kennedy Space Center down in Florida, tracks in my pocket, wheeling that thing around, and whenever possible, give somebody a track, talk to them about the Lord. Because that's our responsibility. That's what it ought to be. As Christians, we need to do that. God still says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tomorrow you're going to meet a creature that I'm not going to meet. You're going to meet some creatures tomorrow that I will never meet any time in my entire life. I'll never be able to reach them for Christ. I have to count on you to do that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to have the right attitude about soul winning. Jonah had the wrong attitude about soul winning. If we look at 4:1, verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 10 first. Jonah goes to Nineveh the second time, chapter 3. God sends him to Nineveh. Chapter 10, the Ninevites repent, even up to the king. They were in sackcloth and ashes repenting. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. God had said, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. But because the people repented, he didn't destroy Nineveh. So you would think the evangelist would be excited. The whole city got saved. Amen. You know, a Billy Sunday type revival. But look at chapter 4 and verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Isn't that amazing? Well, you need to know some of the historical background. Nineveh was the capital of the enemy. Capital city of the enemy nation. And, of course, Jonah recognized that he wanted Nineveh destroyed. He hoped God would destroy Nineveh. Now, whether we like people or we don't like people, we still need to seek to win them. I don't like what the Muslims do. I think Islam is an evil religion. But I do all I can to reach Muslim people for Christ in Kenya. Admittedly, it's not much. Most of the time they won't talk to you. Most of the time they won't take a track. But once in a while they will. So whether we like what they do or even like them personally, that does not exempt us from our responsibility to reach them for Christ. Jonah said no. Jonah said, God, send me to the Israelites, I'll serve you, but don't send me to the enemy. Revival happened in spite of Jonah's bad attitude. But one wonders, what might have happened if Jonah had the right attitude? What might have happened if Jonah had gone to Nineveh the first time, had obeyed the word of God, had prayed for God to reach Nineveh for Christ, had obeyed the will of God and gone to where God told him to preach, and it had the right attitude about souls? Perhaps not just the capital city, but the entire nation might have gotten saved. What a wonderful revival we would be reading about in our Bibles today, had the man of God had the right attitude with regard to revival. Now, friends, you need to ask yourself a question. Do I have the right attitude about the Word of God? Do I have the right attitude about prayer? Do I have the right attitude about the will of God for my life? Do I have the right attitude about soul winning? If you do not, I don't believe you can be a part of the revival God's going to bring in this church. But you can change that by simply bowing your head right now, asking God to forgive you in whichever area he's touched in your life, and you can be a part of God's revival. Let's pray. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would work in a very unique way right now. You would touch the hearts of those who know not the Lord and help them to see the folly of waiting, the foolishness of putting off the most important decision they will ever make in their lives. Lord, I pray for those believers who are here but have shied away from being actively involved in this ministry. I pray that you would, Lord, help them to see what a wonderful work you've done here in 35 years and what a wonderful work, a greater work you expect to do in the next 35 years. Help them to desire above all things to be a part of that and get active in the work. And Father, for those leaders in this church, those men and women who are faithful, who work hard, who take on the jobs that are needed and serve you faithfully, Father, help us. Expand our coasts. Give us greater ministries. Give us expanded opportunities and responsibilities. Help us to surrender to your Spirit in whichever area of our life it's needed. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?